True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Three, that's a magic number.
Morrell going to third. He will slide. He's got a triple.
Rose trying to get open. Fires away. It's over. The Bulls win at the buzzer.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. And you know what? Filling in for Steve Rosenblum today, and I understand. I'm a man who, like, whoever I'm filling in for, I try to do them justice. You know, like, if I'm filling in for David Hall, I try to be super analytical. If I try to be Mully, I try to be a little bit of a cynic. If I fill in for, I'm going to get myself in trouble if I continue on this path. But when I fill in for Steve Rosenblum, I most certainly want to make sure that my trifecta, how I start all of my shows, is a sucky one. And so today, these are going to be the top three stories that kind of sucked, right? Like, we read a lot of stories, and yeah, there's some good storylines, but then there's ones that suck. We're like, oh man, this isn't good. But either way, we're going to go ahead and give you the top three sucky stories to pay homage to our guy, Steve Rosenblum, starting with number three.
Number three.
So the number three story today is actually the drama that has been unfolding and has been, like, talked about, which is that in the Milwaukee Bucks locker room. So according to sources, not me, just, you know, what I read, there was a little bit of drama in the locker room from the Milwaukee Bucks after they lost to the Pacers. Now, Adrian Griffin, of course, he's the new coach, brand new head coach for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was something that Giannis Antetokounmpo wanted. And so basically what they're saying happened is after the game against Indiana, Adrian Griffin comes in. He's like, hey, man, we got to start winning the rebound battle. Well, they only lost the rebound battle 51-46. And in return, Bobby Portis starts talking and says, man, you know, you got to be better with the offensive game plan down the stretch. He's like, this thing works both ways. You know, we need direction, and then it's up to us as players to execute, but we need direction most certainly. Now, here's the funny thing about it. Bobby Portis has been quiet ever since he's been in Milwaukee. Why? Well, because he stole off of Mirotić, and he had to, like, clean up his character. And so he went out there, won a championship, felt like he got himself some space to talk. And Adrian Griffin, do you know who he used to coach with? The Chicago Bulls. I don't know if there was a crossover between their time, but I think there was. And so I could see where Bobby Portis is like, man, I had a really good thing going over here, and you guys let this guy come in to be the coach, and this is the guy I remember from the Bulls? Nah, man, I'm not trying to hear this. Because you would never heard of Bobby Portis talking out of line initially when he got to Milwaukee before Adrian Griffin got there. So the sucky part about it is drama. You got Dame Lillard, you got Giannis Antetokounmpo, you got some pretty good pieces over there, you got a new coach trying to win something, and you got drama in the locker room. But fortunately for the Milwaukee Bucks, they don't expect to be winning from the very beginning. they understand that there's some sort of learning curve that is out there. And it's going to take some time, right? It's going to take time for even just Giannis and Dame Lillard to kind of gel and have a cohesive nature to the two of them. But to have drama like that in the beginning, last thing you want, especially about the coach. You don't want anybody complaining about the coach. All right, number two.
Number two.
It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 to score, filling in for Steve Rosenblum today. And doing a Saturday suckage version of the trifecta. Three stories that absolutely suck. Now, the number two story is going to be the Pistons. What the hell is going on with the Pistons? Pistons lost their 19th straight game to the Orlando Magic. Who, by the way, there's two stories going on here. The Orlando Magic are, I can't tell who they are. I can't tell if they're a try-hard team, you know, like that of the Bulls in the 2010s, where like they finished the season high, but they really couldn't compete against anybody that was really good. But they have some good pieces, man. Paolo Banchero is nice. Franz Wagner, as much as I talk trash about him, especially with that trade with Vooch, is like, he's still consistent in putting up points. So, again, the storyline is the Orlando Magic, and they're a team that have a lot of young people. And a lot of times, like, if you look at the Pistons, right, the same exact team where they have a lot of young players, and it's not working out. But here, the Orlando Magic have a ton of young players, and it is working out. I wonder what the difference is. Probably Paolo Banchero. He's that good. Either way, the Detroit Pistons, 19 in a row? Sheesh! That is disgusting. They have two wins on the season. One of them is against the Bulls. Isn't that messed up? One win is against the Bulls. Ah, whatever. But the Detroit Pistons, they got to get it together, and things don't get easier for them. They got to take on the Pacers on Monday after they probably end up winning the in-season tournament. Then they got to go up against Philadelphia, back-to-back games, Milwaukee, and then Atlanta. So it's probably more than likely going to be 23 games before they win something. The problem is this when it comes to the Detroit Pistons. This is why they are perfect for Saturday suckage. Like, even if they get a number one pick, it's not going to help them. Like, this team is bad. They need to make a big trade. And some of the rumors that are coming out about sending Zach LaVine to Detroit, that's odd to me. Like, because they could package a couple of young pieces together that probably need more playing time. And the Pistons most certainly need a superstar. Someone that should be taking all the shots instead of, you know, trying to pass it around and play nice. But I don't think Zach LaVine wants to go to the Pistons.
Well, one more question, too. Would Zach LaVine be the new Devin Booker for Monty Williams?
Yes, exactly. It's a great point. And listen, and I've likened Zach to a Devin Booker, where he can be a guy that you give a max contract to, but you can still bring other talented people there, like Durant and Bradley Beal. So it is possible if it could happen. All right, last one, number one.
Number one.
It's the trifecta, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Gabe Ramirez. Happy Saturday. It's 11. You ain't got to, or hopefully you ain't got to work today. I got to work today, but this doesn't necessarily feel like work. Saturday suck, it's chill. What time are you here till Tyler? Tyler Ferengall handling producing duties today.
Your show, and then I just got a podcast, and then I'm out of here, so hopefully 2 o'clock.
What time did you start?
9 o'clock, technically, but I was here at 7.
Damn. All right, so you've had yourself a day. What you got for the rest of the day?
Hanging out with some uncles, going to my cousin's basketball game. It's going to be a fun day.
Okay, high school basketball game, or just like itty-bitty basketball?
Nah, he's in middle school. He's 12.
Okay.
So youth basketball game.
Is he like the man on his team?
I heard he's the man.
What's his name?
Ben.
Ben! Drop 20 for me today. Ben, I'm ready to see that. All right.
Let's go.
Speaking of dropping 20, leads me to my number one story here in the trifecta. Gabe Ramirez, 670 to score. And someone dropped a 2020. And it is Victor Wembanyama. Before I get to my thoughts, because it is sad. You drop a 2020 and you still lose to the Bulls. Shout out to the Bulls, by the way. But listen to what DeMar DeRozan had to say about Victor Wembanyama after last night's game.
He's amazing. He's going to be the face of this league, man. He's very special. The things he's able to do with ease. It's amazing to watch. You know, I'm glad I'm gonna be able to be a fan and watch him from a distance once I finish, because he's gonna be special.
I gotta be honest, watching that game yesterday was special. Victor Wembanyama was making now Vooch, and Vooch is nice around the rim. Yesterday had 16 boards, but there were some moments where Victor Wembanyama made Vooch look like Alex Caruso, where he was just towering over him, just grabbing the ball above the rim. 20 rebounds. Alyssa Bergamini had that call. Over 10.5 rebounds. And so, yeah, he had 21 points, 20 rebounds. And it was just I'm sure he was bummed out that they ended up losing. You lose a game like that, but the Spurs are bad. The Spurs are bad. I mean, they can't figure it out. They need one more guy on their team. Like, if Bradley Beal would have gone to San Antonio, okay, that's somewhere where Zach should go. Like, if Greg Popovich could get a hold of Zach LaVine, I'm sure they've crossed paths several times. They could Team USA. But if Zach LaVine with Victor Wembanyama, that's nice, because Victor Wembanyama will default to Zach LaVine. And the problem is, what could you get back in return? Maybe some draft picks. A Keldon Johnson, a true power forward. I don't know. They got a bad team as well. Jeremy Sohan, I don't like him. But either way, that sucks. You get 20-20 and you end up losing to the Bulls. Bulls, by the way, though. I mean, let's be very clear. Okay, I'm actually going to say that thought after this. All right, there's your trifecta, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
That's a magic number.
Right here on 670 The Score, that was a Saturday suckage version of the trifecta, most certainly. Three sucky stories. 2020 and a loss. 19 straight loss for the Pistons. And then Milwaukee Bucks drama. I was going to throw in there sideline Dom from the Philadelphia Eagles. He got banned for the Cowboys game. They said, you cannot come to my stadium. And
did he really? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was gonna put that one in there. But again, it's only the top three, so I kept it NBA focused. But yeah, he got banned from the Cowboys game, which is odd, because I mean, what are you doing by that? And if the NFL can't suspend them like from games like that, so the Cowboys do it. Eagles head of security Dom DeSandro banned from the sideline for the Cowboys game. That's funny, man. That's great. All right, so talking about the Bulls for a little bit, here's my hot take. Outside of a hot tub, not on the Chicago River. I'll explain that joke later. Bulls are going to make the playoffs. And it's not because they won these four games straight, because they're about to lose six straight in a row. Go check the schedule. I'll tell you what it is right now. But the Bulls are going to lose six in a row. They might pull off one victory, maybe, in the next six. But I was saying it on the show yesterday. So I worked last night before the Bulls game, and I came back and tackled this one. But the ball was like, the Bulls got to beat this San Antonio team, and it was looking bleak for them in the first half. San Antonio was coming out on fire. Fortunately, the Bulls ended up clamping down, and that's what they do well. The Bulls, what they've added to their team in the last four games, even though they've been, you know, outside of Milwaukee, I guess New Orleans is all right, but they didn't have one of their best players, CJ McCollum. But what the Bulls do well is the Bulls do play good defense. Like, they can lock down, and that's been like a survival instinct for them, because they haven't been able to put up points. So as a result of it, they've had to play aggressive defense. And now that the ball is actually moving, the ball is on a string moving, nobody's holding on to it. Boom, boom, boom. And I think you pair that with good defense, and it's shown you what it has shown you over the last four games, which is not that the Bulls are a top team in the league, but that, because my statement, the Bulls are going to make the playoffs, isn't about the Bulls. It's more so about the Eastern Conference. And when you look at the Eastern Conference and who are the teams, and they're kind of like a mushy, muddled middle. And what the Bulls can do well, remember, this is the Bulls team without Zach LaVine. And Zach LaVine is going to bring back some pieces in return. So if you add any more talent to that Bulls roster, it's going to then put them in that, like, not OKC area, right? Because they do have, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a stud. But that area where, like, you got a bunch of guys that are kind of good and they just play well together. Like, the Bulls are going to be there. And that's what could get them into the play-in situation. And that's where I think they're going to be right now. But their next six games, Milwaukee, after having that blow-up in the locker room that I just mentioned during Saturday suckage, Monday, 7 p.m. at Milwaukee, that's going to be a tough game for the Chicago Bulls after winning four straight, thinking things are sweet. Then you come home to face Denver. That's going to be fun. With Jokic shooting, six for 26 or 5 for 26 in his last two games.
He's going to be hungry.
He's going to be hungry. Then back-to-back games against Miami in Miami. That is fun because it's in Miami, but it's not fun because it's against Miami. So there's your four games. And then the next two after that, Philadelphia and then the Lakers. I mean, that's tough. That's a tough six games. And so hopefully the Bulls can pull one of those off.
Is this all before the new year?
Yeah. That's all before Christmas.
Holy cow.
That's going to take you for a week and a half till next Wednesday.
That's a gauntlet.
Yeah. So you got six straight games in a week and a half that are going to be tough. And then after that, I mean, it doesn't get any easier. San Antonio, Cleveland, Atlanta, Indiana, Philly, New York. I mean, that's a tough, tough December for the Chicago Bulls trying to find themselves and find the way, but they could do it. They still continue to create that identity. Kobe White coming in and saying, hey, man, we need points. I can put up points. I could do that. I could shoot. Oh, yeah. I get the green light. I'll do that. It's looked great. Look at the rest of this Bulls team, what they've been able to do. Again, moving the ball well. That's what you got to look at for this Bulls team. And we'll get into this conversation a little bit later in the show. But four players putting up 20 points yesterday. DeMar putting up 20, Pat Will 20, Vooch 21, Kobe White 24. That's nasty. That is nasty. I love it. And then, like I said, look at the rebounds. Kobe White had 9 rebounds in his last 2 games and had 4, which was so disgusting. Real quick, before we go to break, the over-under for Kobe White's rebounds yesterday was 4.5. He had gotten 9 the last 2 games. Victor Wembanyama, they knew he was going to go crazy and that Kobe wasn't going to be able to get those things. So they put it at 4.5. He ended up with 4. It's almost disgusting how good they are with those things. So bad. All right. You know what else is disgusting? This Shohei Ohtani watch. Like, the fact that we are watching it incessantly and trying to figure out where he's going to go and, oh, he's going to Toronto. He's not going to Toronto. Yes, he is. No, he's not. I told you he's not. Yes, he is. I told you. It's kind of disgusting. It's kind of gross.
He was on a plane to Toronto yesterday until he wasn't.
Until he wasn't. But we get to talk to a guy who is heavily invested in the Shohei watch because he wants him. Oh, actually, I don't know if he wants him to land in Chicago. That'd be a great question. Michael Cirami joins the show next. What does he think not only about the spectacle that is Shohei Ohtani, but does he want him as a member of the Chicago Cubs? And do you? We'll discuss after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Saturday Suckage filling in for Steve Rosenblum on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Winning the offseason is...
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Probably more curse than blessing, and you know, Cody Bellinger wasn't exactly a move that people were lauding, you know, tremendously last year, and it was probably one of the best free agent signings on the market, and you know, you just don't know where the best deals are going to come from. And I think, you know, certainly there's immensely talented players on the market, but I think if you go in thinking like, you know, it's one of those guys or bust, you can make some really bad, you know, long-term decisions. So trying to win the offseason is not a good idea. We'll try to make the best decisions we can, and I think if we do that, we'll be in a good position.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Did he sound like an apologist right there? Ah, or was he setting you up for what is to come? It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, filling in for Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage edition. I'm a super positive guy, so it's hard for me to do this show sometimes, but I try to go with it. But you know, I'll lend my thoughts to it as the day goes on. I will do that, but not right now. I think what happened yesterday didn't suck at all. It was actually lots of fun following it. It was like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, except it was Shohei Ohtani instead, and we were watching it incessantly on Twitter and just asking all our friends. I was getting a bunch of text messages on it, and this guy was having a lot of fun with it as well. Joining us right now, Our next guest on the hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois from Bleach Nation, it is Michael Cerami. Michael, just before we begin, Shohei Ohtani's not with you right now, right?
I can confirm he is not with me, nor is he in an Uber on his way to Twin Acres to sing Christmas carols with Bono. Another fun rumor that was going around yesterday. It was a crazy day.
Great. One of my cousins was texting me, and my brother's a Cubs fan, and we were in a group chat, and he's like, I'm in this Discord, and they're telling me he's landing in Chicago. I'm like, shut, dude, you shut up. You're in a Discord? They're like, there's no truth happening in that Discord. I can promise you right now. But it was a spectacle yesterday, right, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for those that weren't quite paying attention or aren't chronically online, first of all, congrats, because it's a curse. but earlier in the day, John Morosi had a tweet that Shohei Ohtani signing was imminent. And then as the day went on, some reports additional reporting that he was on an airplane headed toward Toronto. People were tracking the plane live, and Morosi had confirmed that he was headed there. And then a popular Dodgers blog had said that the Dodgers were out and that he was signing with the Blue Jays. And everyone sort of seemed to think that's where it was headed. And then all of a sudden, it turns out there's no deal done. He's not on a plane. He's actually home in Southern California. And it was a wild ride along the way. The man that was actually on the plane was Shark Tank host Robert Hershovec. So it was pretty pretty curious day for sourced reporting on Twitter.
Yeah, it was
a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun to watch. It was fun to kind of follow it. I mean, baseball needs it, right? I mean, more if you love baseball, you love the fact that more people are just kind of hearing about it, even if it's just about one person in particular. But Mike, I'm curious about your thoughts. You and I, we've had a healthy amount of conversations about this Cubs team. And there are some people that are out there and saying, hey, man, I'd rather split that money and send it somewhere else and bring some other people in. And there are others that are like, no, I want Shohei Ohtani. Which side of the fence are you on?
Well, for one response to that, let's say the Cubs, this is just theoretical, hypothetical. And say the Cubs are willing to give Shohei Ohtani $500 million. You know, they did the math, the accounting, the additional advertising revenue, blah, blah, blah. It's all worth it. That doesn't mean that if they didn't give it to him, they would just suddenly have $500 million to commit to other players. It's not how it works. It's not how it would work for other guys. Ohtani is a unicorn, not just in his performance on the field, but in his ability to generate revenue and provide long-term value to an organization, especially any organization that signs him right now is probably going to be the one that he retires with. And that has some lasting value, if he goes into Cooperstown with a Cubs hat on or whatever. So I think that's kind of like a false, alternative. And so I can see the value of getting Ohtani, who couldn't. He's incredible. And even without the pitching in 2024, he'll provide a ton of value. And it's exactly the sort of value that this Cubs team needs, which is left-handed power. But there are other avenues to have exciting offseasons. I will concede, however, that one of the ones that I was looking forward to the most as an alternative was Juan Soto, who was traded to the Yankees. So you do start to look around and get your options whittled down. And it's sort of like, okay, if we don't get Ohtani, this might not be the let's acquire the superstar one way or another offseason. Those options are drying up. And it might just be some additional good pieces to raise the floor again and look ahead to 2025 and just see where the prospects shake out and continue to have money fall off the books to be opportunistic when that big player does end up arriving in Chicago.
Yeah, we're talking to Michael Cerami here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, I hear what you're saying. Sounds like you really want Ohtani here. That's what I'm hearing there. I know you're being politically correct, but that's what I hear. But when you're looking at like those that are out there, and for me, when I look at the Cubs and I think about free agency, they're going to get someone not necessarily replace Cody Bellinger, but like a body is going to be in center field, whether it is Cody or not, right? And you're looking at some of these other positions. So I'm more so looking at the pitching for the Chicago Cubs. Obviously some young arms that are talented. They did a good job of moving some pieces in the rotation and got lucky pretty much every step of the way throughout the season. But they have to address that rotation and they got to bring in some arms. who are some people that you like, or who would you like to see in a Cubs uniform pitching for them next season?
So the early rumors, there have been some rumors about a few pitchers in free agency. It's been a while since the Cubs were connected to the other Japanese starting pitcher, not Yamamoto, but Shota Imanaga. He's 30 years old, but we've seen pitchers like him, like Kode Senga, come over and have a lot of success, and I think he would be a really interesting target. Jordan Montgomery is another free agent pitcher the Cubs have been connected to, but the hot and heaviest rumors about a week ago were all about Rays ace Tyler Glasnow, who's got one price a year of control remaining before he heads back out in free agency. And I had heard that the Cubs were pushing hard to get him, but they are just among 3 to 4 teams at the time. I think that's narrowed a little bit. From what I understand, that has narrowed, and the Cubs are still in there. But most recently, the thing I'm hearing most behind the scenes in terms of the Cubs adding a pitcher is their talks with the Cleveland Guardians about Shane Bieber and Emmanuel Clase, the closer. This would be a really great, you know, combination for the Cubs, who could use a starter and definitely need more bullpen help, and especially late inning bullpen help. But from what I understand, the asking price for Clase in particular, who's only 26, he's really, really good, and most importantly, he's under extremely cheap team control for a while, is really high. The price is really high. So Bieber might seem like, you know, the more familiar name to a lot of people. He's sort of taken a step back from his ace level days. Still a really great pitcher. Cubs would love to have him. And I do know that they're talking about a deal in this range, but all of this sort of seems to be taking a back burner to Ohtani. And I do think that's because the Cubs are, at least at some level, waiting to see what happens with Ohtani. I don't think that they're going to end up with him. That's just my personal opinion from the public available reporting and the few things heard behind the scenes that I can trust. But I do think that they have been involved, and whether or not they get him, there's still going to be downstream market impacts for whatever team doesn't get him. And so they have to wait back and see what happens. For example, if the Dodgers don't get Ohtani, then they are probably going to go even harder after Yamamoto. And that is a Cubs target. So if the Cubs are suddenly have, you know, competition from the Yankees, right, Mets, and Dodgers on Yamamoto, well, they might have to pivot to Bieber.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, that's the fun part about the offseason, right? That there are just missing pieces everywhere, and everyone's trying to, you know, fit something in. And the Cubs find themselves in a unique situation where they did have success last year, probably more than most thought. Being that close to the playoffs, because everything needed to line up, but it's there nonetheless. And now they have to, now that is their launching pad into next season. And do you feel like the pressure is really on the front office to get it right this year, where you heard, you know, Jed talking a second ago and saying, hey, you know, we're not trying to win the offseason, we're trying to make the right moves. And they did, they made the right moves. And as we know in baseball, it's difficult to do that year in and year out.
Yeah. So I came into this offseason with the expectation that the Cubs would be aggressive. And I still think they're going to be. There are a lot of players left. It has been frustrating, but it has been frustrating for a lot of teams in baseball because it just hasn't been that much action with Ohtani lingering out there. They do need to do something big, though. I completely agree. Whether that's signing someone like, you know, maybe Matt Chapman, who is a third baseman and sort of had a down year, but had really good advanced metrics, still plays quality third base defense. There's a lot of players like that. Rhys Hoskins, who is, you know, the sort of player that the Cubs went after, like Bellinger last year, is looking for a one-year deal to reestablish his value on the market. There's a lot of things like that the Cubs can do, but I'm still looking for them to get that star. There's a lot of ways to build a team, but right now, from what I can tell, the Cubs have a quality core at the big league level that's under control. They have a lot of prospects on the way, but they have all this money to spend and no singular superstar, and that's the guy that the Cubs need to get. And I don't know if that guy's going to be available this offseason, which means it might need to be next offseason when they make that sort of big, splashy, marquee-grabbing move. And that's disappointing to me because I was hoping that that would happen now. You know, that doesn't mean they can't be good next year. I think they probably will be. I think, though, they have a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done if they want to enter spring training as the on-paper favorites to win the NL Central. And that absolutely needs to be the goal at this point in, you know, their not rebuild, rebuild. And just one last thing. You know, I get what Jed Hoyer's saying about not wanting the offseason. You know what would be nice, though? Let's win an offseason for once. do you think it wasn't fun to be a Padres fan for a while? Yeah. I think it wasn't fun to be a Mets fan. I mean, yeah, I know so it didn't work out for them. How about the Rangers? You know, they won a couple offseasons ago, and then they won for real. So I would love to win an offseason.
Who wouldn't, right? I mean, you're like, wow, my team cared enough that they didn't care with money, and they just, you know, decided to bring somebody in here. What do you think? You know, people talk about that all the time, right? Like, oh, butts are in the seats. You know, they're making money. It's not going to care. Do you buy into that narrative, or do you think that they're trying to do it every year, just trying to put the best product on the field?
No, I don't buy into that narrative. I mean, first of all, what everyone fails to understand is the single best way to make a ton of money as the owner of the Cubs is to have a really good team. And like it or not, attendance goes up when the team is good. And TV ratings go up, and now subscriptions to Marquee will go up. They're not, that's, of course they want to win. Of course they do. And the only way to do that, you know, in the long term might be the more methodical approach that Jed Hoyer likes to take, but that doesn't mean they're not going to spend. And I genuinely believe that they're going to spend a lot more this offseason, probably both on the free agent market and in trade. I think they'll surpass the first tier of the luxury tax at least, and maybe even go up towards that second tier before they start losing draft picks and start to really spend a lot of money. Because I also wrote at Bleacher Nation, not only was there a lot of money coming off the books this year with guys like Marcus Stroman, Cody Bellinger, Jason Hayward's contract falling off the books, but also next year there's another $50 million or so in luxury tax dollars that are coming off the books. There's plenty, plenty, plenty of space to spend. I think they're going to. It's just whether or not that will be on one singular, great, enormous, two-way Japanese superstar. I don't know. But it'll get spent one way or another.
He is Michael Cirami from Bleacher Nation joining us here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez filling in for Steve Rosenblum. Yeah, I think there's no way the Cubs want to or will allow themselves to regress by any means, right? It has to be either a team that is vying vigorously for a playoff spot, or one that's already in there comfortably. And I think that's where they want to be this year. And, you know, they brought in the coach to do so. What do you think about the coach? We didn't even get a chance to talk about that. Michael, Craig Council coming in.
Of course, it's exciting. I mean, that's how can you – it's another good example. I'm the furthest thing from, you know, a Tom Ricketts apologist or Jed Hoyer apologist. But when they go out and have a coup like that feeling – the best, you know, one of the best three managers, let's be generous.
That's how you can win an offseason.
Yeah, and given the richest contract for a manager in baseball history, that is showing a commitment, and it's building towards something greater. The Cubs have a lot of young players emerging at the big league levels last year and going into this year especially, and that's the time when a manager like Council can have a little bit of an extra added impact. I kind of think about it the way Joe Maddon was brought on board at the last time the top prospects, the Cubs core, World Series core was emerging, and he being the right manager to manage those players at that time. That's how I see Craig Council. That's why I think the Cubs made the switch from Council, from Ross to Council. It's not just because of in-game decisions or bullpen management. It's about stewarding these young players and helping them develop and getting the most out of them. I think Council can make a really big impact at that, and you know, what a great way to start the offseason. We just hope that the Cubs continue that sort of aggressive approach by actually adding players from outside the organization as well.
Yeah, it'll be a good one to see. All right, before I get you out of here, I mean, it is the holiday season, Michael. And I know at Obvious Shirts, you guys got something up your sleeve for stocking stuffers for people. What can you tell us about what you guys got for the holidays?
Well, you know, I can tell you, I'll say this. You should definitely go get some Obvious Shirts, but depending on which free agents may or may not sign, we got some great other additional new designs that are just ready to hit the press. You can imagine,
yeah, I can imagine
what ideas we have. And so there's also some good new Sammy Sosa gear there, so you should definitely check it out. And otherwise, head over to Bleacher Nation and read all about this in crazy offseason. There's so much more to go. There's a ton of rumors, and we're trying our best not just to collect everything and analyze it and break it down for you, but to really interpret it and to provide our own analysis. So, you know, please do go to BleacherNation.com and read about the Cubs. We're tracking it obsessively, so you don't have to. We'll make sure you have all the flight tracking info you need, and we'll, you know, find out the name of Otani's dog, all that stuff. We're going to do our best.
I love it. Michael, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Have a good weekend, all right?
You too. Bye-bye.
Michael Cirami from Bleacher Nation. Make sure you guys check out all his stuff there. He is most certainly, you know, I always try to get the Cub fan out of him. And I think that's because I know it's in there. And he does a good job of just sticking to the meat and potatoes and doesn't allow his true opinions to get in there too much. And I really appreciate that about him. So I'll make sure you guys check him out, Michael Cirami. All right. On the other side, I would get to talk a little bit about the Bears, Los Osos. What are they up to this weekend? And can they dethrone the Detroit Lions? We'll talk about that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Steve Rosenblum on a Saturday suckage here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
That's why I think when people talk about Toronto, I think it's viable because of the roof and because of the population and the base there. And he's going to feel very comfortable. And the fact that, he's not had a chance to really dominate another country. All these things are probably part of the evaluation process for him. He's not going to leave a stone unturned.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. That was Joe Maddon. Talk about some really great radio yesterday. Joe Maddon with Parkinson Spiegel was awesome. Make sure you check out Parkinson Spiegel 2 to 6. And, of course, on Monday it's going to be great because that's going to be our Plumbers 911 Football Monday. I kick things off. I love that the read says Gabe Ramirez. It's me. I kick things off midnight to 5 a.m., followed by Mully and Hodd and Bernstein and Holmes and Parkinson Spiegel, of course. And that's going to be a great one. It's going to be all day Monday for Bears reaction. But before the Bears take on Detroit, you could tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for the PNC pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. The trio that they have on there is really good. Mully from Mully and Hall, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley. And they do a great job breaking down the game. I mean, you got two guys that play for the team, so they wear their heart on their sleeves, and they speak freely, and that's what you want to listen to. Before the game and then right after the game, same thing. Instant reaction from Mully, Olin, and Pat on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. If you're not in your car, don't worry. It's 2023. We got an app for that, the Odyssey app. Make sure you check that out, all right? But as I mentioned, that was Joe Maddon with Parkinson Spiegel. Mark, on Monday, Parkinson Spiegel, as I mentioned on the Football Monday, Jalen Johnson talks to those guys, by the way. They talked to him about Shohei Ohtani, and who better to talk about Shohei than Joe Maddon? I mean, he coached Shohei, and then obviously he has his history here in Chicago. He talked about how he was sad that the restaurant had to close. I was sad too. That's got to suck. Who wouldn't like getting free food and drinks every time you go to work, especially at a high level like that? But he did talk about the fact that Spiegel asked him a great question and said, you know, What will Ohtani value the most in free agency? Like, what is he looking for? And, you know, Ohtani's a quiet guy, so you're not going to get too much information like this from anyone else. But Joe Maddon did a great job of painting the picture on what Ohtani would want in free agency.
The opportunity to win and to create, further his legacy. Some place that he could call home for a long period of time, a place he feels comfortable environmentally with the people around him, the neighborhood, a sense of feeling safe. I think all that stuff matters to him. I don't know that it's as important to him to be on the West Coast as it was when he originally signed, the proximity to Japan. I think at that point it was a comfort kind of a thing, but now he's pretty much dominated the United States. And he knows what it's like to play in New York. He knows what it's like to start an all-star game. He knows as a pitcher and as a hitter. So he's overcome a lot of the different maybe trepidations he had walking into it. So I think he's checked a lot of boxes. So I think the entire league is open to him. So that to me is where I see he's at. Is Chicago viable? It is, but I think honestly, the weather might be a detriment early in the season. The wind may play in this, and this guy's going to consider everything, and so is his representation.
Interesting stuff right there from Joe Maddon. I love the fact that he brings up safety. Did you not feel safe in Wrigleyville, my friend? Did you not feel safe in Chicago? Safety? Okay, that's what he prioritizes. L.A., I just got back from L.A. watching the Bears play against the Chargers in SoFi. Let me just tell you.
I meant to ask you, how was that trip out to L.A. about a month or so ago?
Fantastic. Yesterday, I went to a place called El Asadero, which was right on Lake and like 25th. I was getting my car, heading to work. And they had homemade tortillas. And let me tell you, after coming back from L.A., because in L.A., the one thing that you can get is a taco for $2. I don't know what's... Don't let me live here for a second, Tyler. Why did you do this? $5 tacos, that's a travesty. Like, tacos should never be $5. It's a tortilla with some meat in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, tortillas are cheap. And if you buy meat in bulk and you season it, you chop it up, you put it in the taco, and you put some cilantro and onions, it should be cheap, right? And you know what shrinkflation is? Go Google it. You, Tyler, I'm talking to you specifically. Shrinkflation, like... That's kind of happening in L.A. where, yeah, they're not selling you this huge taco for $2. It's like, you know, a little handheld you dig. Some are bigger than others. But with all the Latinos we have here in Chicago, it is ridiculous that we don't have people selling them for $2 everywhere. Like, the fact that I have to go to a place, like yesterday, I think I spent like $4.50 on a steak taco. That's crazy. $4.50? Don't give me, like I said, I didn't want to live here. But I will say this, the torta from El Asadero right there on Lake and 25th, that's one of the biggest tortas I've ever had in my life. The Al Pastor was fire. And then that one was only $8. Weird. Weird. Priced incorrectly. That was one of my biggest pet peeves. But anyway, text in your favorite taco spots. 312-644-6767. I want to hear them. I'll tell you mine a little bit later. See, why'd you do that, bro? Anyway, L.A., loved it out there. It didn't feel the safest out there either. Passed by USC. Saw where Bronny's going to be playing in a little bit. That was cool. LA was fun. It was a good time. Family trips are always great. But Joe Maddon, what he was talking about there when he mentioned safety, already conquering the U.S. market. I mean, he's telling you where he wants to be. He's telling you where he's going. Like, if the point of asking him the question was to try to get some insight, right? Like, to try to, like, read between the lines of what he's actually talking about, then you look at it. He's already dominated this market. Where does he have to go? Canada. Large population out there. A lot of Chinese, a lot of Japanese people out there, a lot of Asian people. It's a big, eclectic group. It's a little bit more polite, right? Safe out there in Toronto. That's what they call it. Love Toronto, by the way. One of my favorite cities. You ever been? Tyler, 8-hour road trip to Toronto. That's it. 8 hours. Our time difference, because it's in the east side, but our east coast. But 8 hours. I've done it. I've driven up there several times. Fun stories about driving up across the border with Toronto.
Sorry to report, though. I can probably only count on about two hands the amount of total states I've been in, and I've never been out of the country. So.
Okay. Okay. Your parents
definitely want to travel more, though.
Your parents don't love you? No, I'm just playing. I'm joking.
We just didn't go on a lot of vacations when I was a kid.
Trust me, neither did I. I only went to Wisconsin. That was in Miami because my grandma lived in Miami. So that's the only reason I went there. But then, you know what? Right when I was around your age, though, like 23, 22, 23, I realized, oh, I have a car and these places are close. All right. Like Cleveland, you know, close. Detroit, close. 4 hours. You know what I'm saying? Cincy, close. Milwaukee, close.
Indy,
Minnesota, St. Louis. Like, these cities are close enough where you can drive to and make a day trip out of it. Leave at 8 a.m. I'm talking to you, the 20-something-year-old that loves sports. You're listening to 670. Go find out when that Cardinals game is being played. You don't got to only watch the Cubs play. It's okay. You're not cheating on the Cubs if you go down to St. Louis and watch another team play. Go on a Saturday morning. Drive the 3-4 hours that it takes to get down there. Catch the game. Stay in a little $50 hotel. And then come back the next day. It's going to be the greatest thing you ever did. Trust me. You don't need thousands of dollars to go travel. Go take yourself and your friends. Go catch a game. Go buy some $8 tickets. That's the other thing. Tickets are cheap in other cities. You go to Kansas City, 8-hour drive out there, did it. Go to Kansas City, tickets just $13-14 max. Not max, men, yeah. But anyway, I'm doing it to encourage everybody to you know, get out and about. Because what we do with my family and going to these Bears games every year, it's become a thing now, man. We got like almost 20 people that roll with us because people understand that it's cool to build that camaraderie with your friends and your family. So I want to encourage you guys to do that. All right, speaking of family, some think that the Bears are just that. We hate them like they're our family, right? We would argue with them at the Thanksgiving dinner table if they were there. But we get to chat about them nonetheless. Bears taking on the Detroit Lions tomorrow. And, of course, we get an opportunity to talk to Hub Arkish at the top of the hour. Talked to him last night on my show, and he was eating some ribs with some hot sauce. I wonder what he's eating this time. We'll find out what his lunch is, and we'll also find out what his thoughts are on this Bears game. Hub Arkish hangs out with us next. It's Gabe Ramirez in for Steve Rosenblum on a Saturday suckage here on 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's why I think when people talk about Toronto, I think it's viable because of the roof and because of the population and the base there. And he's going to feel very comfortable. And the fact that, he's not had a chance to really dominate another country. All these things are probably part of the evaluation process for him. He's not going to leave a stone unturned.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, 670 to score. That was Joe Madden. Talk about some really great radio yesterday. Joe Madden with Parkinson Spiegel was awesome. Make sure you check out Parkinson Spiegel 2-6. And of course, on Monday, it's going to be great because that's going to be our Plumbers 911 Football Monday. I kick things off. I love that the read says Gabe Ramirez. It's me. I kick things off midnight to 5 a.m. Followed by Mully and Hod and Bernstein and Holmes and Parkins and Spiegel, of course. And that's going to be a great one. It's going to be all day Monday for Bears reaction. But before the Bears take on Detroit, you could tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for the PNC pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. The trio that they have on there is really good. Mully from Mully and Hod, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley, and they do a great job breaking down the game. I mean, you got two guys that play for the team, so they wear their heart on their sleeves, and they speak freely, and that's what you want to listen to. Before the game and then right after the game, same thing. Instant reaction from Mully, Olin, and Pat on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. If you're not in your car, don't worry. It's 2023. We got an app for that, the Odyssey app. Make sure you check that out, all right? But as I mentioned, that was Joe Madden with Parkinson Spiegel. Mark, on Monday, Parkinson Spiegel, as I mentioned on the Football Monday, Jalen Johnson talks to those guys, by the way. But they talked to him about Shohei Ohtani, and who better to talk about Shohei than Joe Madden? I mean, he coached Shohei, and then obviously he has his history here in Chicago. He talked about how he was sad that the restaurant had to close. I was sad, too. That's got to suck. Who wouldn't like getting free food and drinks every time you go to work? especially at a high level like that. But he did talk about the fact that Spiegel asked him a great question and said, you know, what will Ohtani value the most in free agency? Like, what is he looking for? And, you know, Ohtani's a quiet guy, so you're not going to get too much information like this from anyone else. But Joe Maddon did a great job of painting the picture on what Ohtani would want in free agency.
The opportunity to win and to create, to really, I guess, how shall I say, further his legacy. Some place that he could call home for a long period of time, a place he feels comfortable environmentally with the people around him, the neighborhood, a sense of feeling safe. I think all that stuff matters to him. I don't know that it's as important to him to be on the West Coast as it was when he originally signed, the proximity to Japan. I think at that point it was a comfort kind of a thing, but now he's pretty much dominated the United States. And he knows what it's like to play in New York. He knows what it's like to start an all-star game. He knows as a pitcher and as a hitter. So he's overcome a lot of the different maybe trepidations he had walking into it. So I think he's checked a lot of boxes. So I think the entire league is open to him. That to me is where I see he's at. Is Chicago viable? It is, but I think honestly the weather might be a detriment early in the season. The wind may play in this, and this guy's going to consider everything, and so is his representation.
Interesting stuff right there from Joe Maddon. I love the fact that he brings up safety. Did you not feel safe in Wrigleyville, my friend? Did you not feel safe in Chicago? Safety? Okay, that's what he prioritizes. L.A., I just got back from L.A. watching the Bears play against the Chargers in SoFi. Let me just tell you.
I meant to ask you, how was that trip out to L.A. about a month or so ago?
Fantastic. Yesterday I went to a place called El Asadero, which was right on Lake and like 25th. I was getting, long story, whatever. I was getting my car, heading to work. And they had homemade tortillas. And let me tell you, after coming back from L.A., because in L.A., the one thing that you can get is a taco for $2. I don't know what's... Don't let me live here for a second, Tyler. Why did you do this? $5 tacos, that's a travesty. Like, tacos should never be $5. It's a tortilla with some meat in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, tortillas are cheap. And if you buy meat in bulk and you season it, you chop it up, you put it in the taco, and you put some cilantro and onions, it should be cheap, right? And you know what shrinkflation is? Go Google it. You, Tyler, I'm talking to you specifically. Shrinkflation, like, that's kind of happening in L.A. where, yeah, they're not selling you this huge taco for $2. It's like, you know, a little handheld you dig. Some are bigger than others. But with all the Latinos we have here in Chicago, it is ridiculous that we don't have people selling them for $2 everywhere. Like, the fact that I have to go to a place, like yesterday, I think I spent like $4.50 on a steak taco. That's crazy. $4.50? Don't give me, like I said, I didn't want to live here. But I will say this, the torta from El Asadero right there on Lake and 25th, that's one of the biggest tortas I've ever had in my life. The Al Pastor was fire. And then that one was only $8. Weird. Weird. Priced incorrectly. That was one of my biggest pet peeves. But anyway, text in your favorite taco spots. 312-644-6767. I want to hear them. I'll tell you mine a little bit later. See, why'd you do that, bro? Anyway, L.A., loved it out there. It didn't feel the safest out there either. Passed by USC. Saw where Bronny's going to be playing in a little bit. That was cool. LA was fun, though. It was a good time. Family trips are always great. But Joe Maddon, what he was talking about there when he mentioned safety, already conquering the U.S. market. I mean, he's telling you where he wants to be. He's telling you where he's going. Like, if the point of asking him the question was to try to get some insight, right? Like, to try to, like, read between the lines of what he's actually talking about, then you look at it. He's already dominated this market. Where does he have to go? Canada. Large population out there. A lot of Chinese, a lot of Japanese people out there, a lot of Asian people. It's a big, eclectic group. It's a little bit more polite, right? Safe out there in Toronto. That's what they call it. Love Toronto, by the way. One of my favorite cities. You ever been? Tyler, 8-hour road trip to Toronto. That's it. 8 hours. Our time difference because it's in the east side, but our east coast. But 8 hours. I've done it. I've driven up there several times. Fun stories about driving up across the border with Toronto.
Sorry to report, though. I can probably only count on about two hands the amount of total states I've been in, and I've never been out of the country. So.
Okay. Okay, your parents
definitely want to travel more, though.
Your parents don't love you? No, I'm just playing. I'm joking.
We just didn't go on a lot of vacations when I was a kid.
Trust me, neither did I. I only went to Wisconsin. That was in Miami because my grandma lived in Miami. So that's the only reason I went there. But then, you know what? Right when I was around your age, though, like 23, 22, 23, I realized, oh, I have a car and these places are close. All right, like Cleveland, you know, close. Detroit, close. 4 hours. You know what I'm saying? Cincy, close. Milwaukee, close.
Indy,
Minnesota, St. Louis. Like, these cities are close enough where you can drive to and make a day trip out of it. Leave at 8 in the morning. I'm talking to you, the 20-something-year-old that loves sports. You're listening to 670. Go find out when that Cardinals game is being played. You don't got to only watch the Cubs play. It's okay. You're not cheating on the Cubs if you go down to St. Louis and watch another team play. Go on a Saturday morning. Drive the 3-4 hours that it takes to get down there. Catch the game. Stay in a little $50 hotel. And then come back the next. It's going to be the greatest thing you ever did. Trust me. You don't need thousands of dollars to go travel. Go take yourself and your friends. Go catch a game. Go buy some $8 tickets. That's the other thing. Tickets are cheap in other cities. You go to Kansas City, 8-hour drive out there, did it. Go to Kansas City, tickets just $13-14. Max. Not max. Min. You know? But anyway, I'm doing it to encourage everybody to, you know, get out and about. Because what we do with my family and going to these Bears games every year, it's become a thing now, man. We got like almost 20 people that roll with us because people understand that it's cool to build that camaraderie with your friends and your family. So I want to encourage you guys to do that. All right. So speaking of family, some think that the Bears are just that. We hate them like they're our family, right? We would argue with them at the Thanksgiving dinner table if they were there. But we get to chat about them nonetheless. Bears taking on the Detroit Lions tomorrow. And, of course, we get an opportunity to talk to Hub Arkish at the top of the hour. Talked to him last night on my show, and he was eating some ribs with some hot sauce. I wonder what he's eating this time. We'll find out what his lunch is, and we'll also find out what his thoughts are on this Bears game. Hub Arkish hangs out with us next. It's Gabe Ramirez in for Steve Rosenblum on a Saturday suckage here on 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.